Hello and welcome to another episode of On My Last Eggs. I'm Rachel, and like millions of other women worldwide, I'm navigating the wild throes of perimenopause.
I'm always aware of that doing comedy with the menopause. To laugh with the menopause is one thing, to laugh at it is another.
I'll be lifting the lid on what that whole messy, confusing journey entails, with plenty of lols and WTFs along the way.
So I did a show at a school recently. They had a dog, came running up onto the stage, started barking at me, growling. I've been heckled so many times with babies, with people, but never a dog.
Well, I'm very excited to welcome back to On My Last Eggs, repeat offender. I'm sure she won't mind being called that. Debbie Baisden, hello, how are you?
I'm great, Rachel, how are you?
I'm really, really good. It's really great to have you back on. Now, you were on quite close to the end of our last season we did. So in the world of podcasting, you've only just been on. However, that was 18 months ago in real time.
Oh my God, 18 months, just flown.
I know, just flown. Absolutely flown by, hasn't it? So there is a lot to catch up with you. Let's start with Dolly Slateman and the menopause party and the show. So for anyone who didn't listen to the fantastic episode in season two with Debbie Baisden, I mean, where were you? Because it's a great episode. Go back and listen to it. But you have this character, Dolly Slateman, who is the larger than life pub landlady born out of your real career as a pub landlady. And I remember when we spoke last, you were about to go on tour with that show. How's that been?
Yeah, that was really exciting, actually. So last year, I ended up doing Brighton Fringe. And what came out of Brighton Fringe, I ended up doing some work with Sophie Corbett at Rockwater. Sophie does a really great night, Let's Talk Menopause. And Dolly was kind of like a bit of a host and helping her out with the guests. Then also like did a bit of 10-minute stand-up. So that was really good. And then I did, believe it or not, Chelmsford had a Fringe last year, which no one knew about.
Right?
And then I done Edinburgh. And Edinburgh is like halfway doing your bit and you think, my God, never again, because you're absolutely knackered.
Is that because you're doing so much? I've never been to Edinburgh and I really should. I used to do stand-up comedy years ago. You know, I'm in the arts. I really should go to Edinburgh, but I never have. But I always imagine that people might come and go. You might not have many people at the show because there's so many other shows to go to. What's it like?
It's a very selfish thing, I think, a very selfish thing to do when you don't do performing 100% of the time. Obviously, I've got a pub. I had to leave the pub to my husband, to the staff in the middle of August. But as a performer, it is such a great, valuable learning experience. There was one night I had one person in the audience.
That's a very intimate show.
Yeah, it was. And I didn't, because, and then the theatre said to me, do you still want to
tell me
it?
It was a 25-year-old bloke.
No, it was some confused young woman. I'm like, oh my God, you're gonna be frightened the life out of you now before you leave this show. But I knew some other tickets had been sold, about six other tickets had been sold. So I just said to the theatre, well, no, I'll do it. Because you think, there's a week you're gonna do, I'm not gonna go back to my room and just sit on my own. You can't fly her at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm all dolled up.
Yeah, exactly. All dollified. I did get a proposition once. This guy came, I was doing flyer, and this guy came up to me and went to me, are you? I went, no.
Dolly, you know, yes, she looks, you know, she's got a certain style, right? But she's classy with it, I think.
I think
Dolly's
she's
quite hot.
Well, she likes to think so.
That's true.
Debatable, but she definitely likes to think so.
I think she's getting hotter. We'll come back to that in a minute, because I think Debbie Baisden might be getting hotter as well. But anyway, so you did a show to one person.
Well, no, because what happened was I started doing the show to her. And I thought, oh my God, this is a bit more difficult than what I thought it was going to be, because you're just making direct eye contact with that one person. Mm. You can't pretend you're looking around the theatre at other people when there's no one actually there, because you look like a lunatic. And then it was like a mirage. These other people came in, and in my heart, I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you. And I could see this one person in the audience, her whole demeanour went, oh. It's going to be a really good show. To answer your question as a performer, with Edinburgh, it's almost like the whole city is alive with it. And what a great way that you actually demonstrate how powerful art can be. But it was funny, because I was there and I was thinking, right, that's enough now. I don't know how long I've gone for. I'd done a week. I was absolutely knackered. But then by the time you're leaving, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Pleasance next time. Because you learn so much. Unfortunately, the only thing I would say about Edinburgh this time, that they seem to have had an awful lot of shows for a lack of
footfall.
Footfall, that's it.
So I love it when you get a bunch of menopausal women chatting because they're like filling each other's words. I can't find the words myself, but you probably can.
I would like to say this only started about 10 years ago, but I think it's been all my life. I've probably had a hormonal imbalance all my life and didn't even know.
You're going to do Edinburgh again this year?
Unless I tag on with somebody else. I might be doing it this year. I've got Camden Fringe coming up. So I'm going to do Camden. And the show itself has been doing really well. So I did a show at a school recently and they had a dog. So
right, as I'm school dog.
At the dog was actually in the audience. Yeah. Amazing. So the headmistress, all her teachers, and Mabel is running around the hall as Dolly. I think that's fine, I can cope with this. And then when I turned into the judge towards the end of the show, the dog went absolutely bonkers, had been ignored me the whole time, came running up onto the stage, started barking at me, growling. And then as a judge, I go, oh, come on, Mabel, that's lovely, off you go, and all this. And then afterwards, lovely headmistress, she said to me, oh, I'm very sorry about Mabel, but I think she thought you were a poodle, because obviously...
He's wearing a wig.
But I wear the long wig, you know, as the judge. And I went, I've been heckled so many times with babies, with people, but never a dog.
No, amazing. So it sounds like Dolly Slateman and, you know, the menopause party and the whole getting the word out there through creativity and through comedy is going brilliantly. So well done. Let's talk about Naked Education.
I know.
I was really excited when I saw it's happening. So again, for people who don't know, there's a show called Naked Attraction, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm not on that. I'm really
not
on that.
I know. I bet you've spent a lot of time trying to tell people on that. It's a show called Naked Attraction with... presented by Anna Richardson, and it's like, it is like watching a car crash, isn't it? You don't want to crane your neck around and look at Naked Attraction, but I think everyone's seen an episode and then you're agog.
Have you not?
So no. Basically they reveal a person from the ankles up. I think I've only seen one episode and it was a long time ago. I was probably drunk. So they reveal a person, you know, or people of the opposite sex, usually, or sometimes the same sex, to someone, and then they say whether they fancy them or not. And you know, it is a meat market and it's ridiculous. And I don't know where the programme came from. But Naked Education, also presented by Anna Richardson, is something different. It's supposed to teach us about bodies, and it's supposed to particularly teach young people that bodies are completely normal and they come in all shapes and sizes. Yes, have I summed the programme up?
Yes, that's great. Yeah.
Quite well. So you've got people on there from all sorts of walks of life, and people who've got all sorts of issues with their body, or not people who've got issues with their bodies. And then they have this sort of classroom set up with young people in, you know, talking about what they see and talking to the people that they meet. And you went on there as part of a group of three women that were midlife.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, I was doing a show up in London and they contacted me on the Thursday, I believe, and would I be interested in going on Naked Education and talk about the menopause, etc. So I thought, this sounds good, great platform for the actual conversation itself for menopausal women. And obviously there's such a lack of women over 50 on television anyway, So any opportunity, great. And then they rang me and I had a really busy weekend. I had a busy night at the pub Friday. I had a wedding on the Saturday with Sunday Rose's mental, and they wanted to film on Monday. They contacted me on the Friday, would I go naked? So I said, I said, obviously anybody who goes naked, that's up to them. They've got my total respect, it's done for the right reasons, et cetera, but not my bag. Would I wear underwear? No, I don't think so. So I'll wear underwear. I tell you what I'd wear. I'd wear something like this, and there's this become clothing you wear. It's got like Spanx and vests, etc. So that was all agreed. I didn't have time to think about Rachel or anything. It was like whizzed around on Monday. I'm there and I'm filming. And it was a bit of a moment for me, I think, really. A bit of a watershed moment for me in the sense of where I'm going with everything. Because I realised when I was in that chat with them, and I realised it was more about me rather than being a character, I thought, oh, my God, what are you doing? Are you going to carry on and be an activist, really throw yourself into it and talk about how women are not represented over 50 in the media? Or are you going to sort of just keep hiding behind it? So for me, it was quite overwhelming. It was overwhelming.
Although you do great work with Dolly, did you feel that actually maybe Debbie needed to come out more and actually, rather than make jokes about it and stuff, maybe be more serious about it and more of an advocate?
Yeah, well, I realised at that point in time, I couldn't make jokes about it. It was set up in a way that I would have looked really disrespectful if I started making jokes about it. I'm always aware of that doing comedy with the menopause. I worry about women in work. If we go on about it too much as a problem, then you're going to create that kind of environment that it's not advisable to employ a woman over 50. You know, it's not progressive, which we know it is. Of course it is. Mm. But you can create that kind of atmosphere about it. So in the same sense, to laugh with the menopause is one thing. To laugh at it is another. And I found that I wasn't able to do either. I had to go with it and talk about my experience more.
It's a very interesting point. You know, with this podcast, I try and make it fun. I try and make it funny. And I always do like a little comedy interlude in it. But I'm also very aware, you know, even though I feel like, well, I should be able to laugh at it. It's my experience. The women who are coming on, it's their experience. There is a funny line where you think it's a responsibility to tread this right, isn't it? You know, to...
Yeah, of course, because we're all different, aren't we?
Yeah.
And everyone has different experiences. And comedy does that anyway, doesn't it? Comedy always highlights things we don't like to speak about.
So let's stay with Naked Education a little bit. So there's sort of three of you, three women kind of chatting together. I'm curious to know what Naked Education program makers wanted out of that and how did it feel doing it?
You know what? It was really interesting because I don't think they really knew at the time. They knew they wanted a casual conversation. I think they wanted to replicate the echo chamber in the sense of women getting together and talking about an issue that's not normally spoke about outside the confines of a personal conversation. So obviously it was about menopause. It was about age. How do you feel about your relationships? How do you feel about your body? I've never met these two women before. And you've got your dressing gown on with your Spanx underneath.
I was going to say, you say it was just like a normal conversation. You're in like a room, like a kind of like warehouse. It looks like a bit like a sort of gangster film. Like you're all going to be tied to your chairs and beaten up or something. You're in a kind of like a big space, kind of just lit in the center, like a boxing ring or something. And you're all on like bar stools as well.
And not a hint of Pinot Grigio anywhere.
Exactly. And no bar to be seen. This is a terrible pub. I'm a pub landlady.
Exactly.
Is not good enough.
You could have let me know. I would have sorted something out for you.
But so yeah, you say they wanted to have like a normal conversation, but you're very exposed before you were exposed, you know.
Gosh, yeah. And I think it was I want to say working class, I guess, if you put that in the kind of grand scheme of things where conversations go, you know. I think what Davina McCall has done is amazing, but it is from a celebrity point of view. She's still going round and she's still talking to working class people. She's fantastic and making that accessible, but it's not working class people talking to each other. And then when I got home that night, oh my god, right, I literally woke up in the night, panic attack. PTSD.
What have I done?
PTSD back to that point. The kids are gonna kill me. Get all the social media accounts off.
But you were in your Spanx,
yeah,
you know, and you looked great. I mean, you did look great. You absolutely look great. Your face looked great, even, you know, even before you took your dressing gown off. I was a bit disappointed you weren't all naked.
Yeah. I ain't going to happen.
Well, and I tried to sort of, well, like, why am I disappointed they're not naked? Is it because I want to see Debbie without any clothes on? I'm pretty sure, Debbie, if I said, you know, can I come around the pub? We'll go in the loo, you take your clothes off, I'd like to see you naked. I'm pretty sure you'd do it for me after a couple of wine.
I feel pretty sure I would say to you, have you been taking your tablets?
And here's Debbie in action on Naked Education.
When I was younger, you needed to be a little bit trim and, you know, the outfits you wore. And there's a lot of competition, isn't it? In my 20s and 30s, there was always something you wanted to change. My belly looks big in this, my bum looks big in that. I would say now I can find happiness in other areas of life. I don't necessarily have to look like something to achieve that happiness.
Are you confident with your body now?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't look in the mirror and think, oh, Dawn, you know, I can't look at that. But I do know that I'm not healthy and that isn't good. I mean, I haven't seen my pubic hair for about 12 years.
Be a little bit lighter now.
Could be a shock when I do see him laugh. Bloody hell, the great.
I'm just preparing you for the next stage.
They were jet black last time I looked.
Another cruel, unusual thing of menopause, it started to grow hairs out of my flaming chin.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know what else happens? You lose weight on the balls of your feet and you gain it here. Have you noticed that on your feet, that they've got a bit more bony at the balls of your feet?
Who has told you this?
But read it somewhere. Don't quote me.
Well, I must have had really fat feet. My feet must have been like Shrek.
in the same episode, there was a woman, a middle-aged woman, who went swimming naked, didn't she?
Yeah.
What I didn't want it to feel like is, but what we don't want to show is naked middle-aged women, because no one wants to see that. Do you know what I mean? That's what I didn't want it to feel like.
You can flick that on its head as well, couldn't you, really? Do you get to a certain age and you think, well, actually, why do we keep objectifying female bodies? And when it's not about the female body, but of course that all comes into it, but it's about the female intellect, the female offering what I can give society, you know. So I guess I would go more from that point of view, but I totally get where you're coming from, because you've got the nakedness running through the
theme
program, and it's who you identify. We can't help it, can we? We're all human. We identify with magazines, and we identify with people on television. But then maybe there's a point there that it's not about identifying with anybody. It's about how you feel inside.
Yeah. You know, I think you're absolutely right about representation generally, whether we're naked or fully clothed. Representation, normal representation, and we talked about this before, normal representation of women over 50, not necessarily having to have a story arc that is because they're over 50, but just going about their normal life in whatever way. But being older, you know, it's definitely something we need more of. I wanted to talk a bit more about the class thing as well, because, again, I know we've talked about this before, but I had Carolyn Harris, MP.
Oh, lovely.
And she said that when she went on Loose Women to talk about menopause, that all her friends were saying, oh, you're posh, aren't you, having a menopause? Because it was a luxury to be able to find time to have a menopause, you know, because as my mum would say, I was so busy, I didn't know whether to shit or wind my watch. I don't know where that expression comes from. That's what my mum used to say.
I would imagine most of the country identifies with it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so I love that idea that, you know, menopause is the sort of preserve of a woman who has the time and the money and the particular circle that they move in to be able to express that they're having a menopause, you know, and that for a working class woman, that you are so busy getting on with life that you haven't got time to indulge yourself in how you're feeling and whether or not something needs to be done about it, whether you could have HRT. I think the problem's more complicated than that, though, isn't it? That it seems to be something that working class women don't talk about, or we don't see represented. What do you think's going on there?
All the things you've just said. But also there's almost like a self-blame. If you're not coping with a particular situation, and because you don't know, you've not been educated through your parents or through your female peers or through any peers, then you start to blame yourself. And that's what I did. I started thinking, why aren't I coping with life? Because it just didn't match up that it was actually a physical process my body was going through, and why I felt this way, and why I wasn't coping at the time. So you definitely start to blame yourself that you're not coping. And then when we blame ourselves, we don't want to indulge that information with anybody else, because you feel like you're failing again. Mm. And then you keep that all hidden. And it's just like a vicious circle. So that's why I think it's really important. I mean, let's face it, it has blown up in the last couple of years, in the last 4 to 5 years. And it's such a great thing, because people are starting to realise that actually that is the reason why I'm feeling like this. But do you know what amazes me when I do shows? You know, I've done Westminster Council a little while ago, and I was speaking to a couple of women, and they've still got all this information, but they still don't identify themselves having a menopause.
Mm.
It's almost that denial. Maybe that's all
menopause deniers. There's lots of us about, you know. Yeah.
Maybe it's down to ageism comes into it. But I think when you educate people, and it's not, as is not said from like a big, oh, look at me, here I am point of view, it's everyday education that everyone should have, like we do about puberty, like we do with pregnancy. When you educate women about their bodies and say, right, this is probably going to happen, and this is how you could feel, then all of a sudden you've got people, whether they're working class or not, they know they can help themselves to get out of that situation. And it's your helping yourself situation, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, without sounding like a raving martyr, women do tend to put themselves last before others in the family group, because you've been institutionalized to do that.
And it's really interesting what you say about blame, because no one wants to feel that they're doing something wrong or that they are failing. But you're right, once you start to blame yourself, I'm not managing because I'm doing too much or whatever it is, you know, you're never going to tell anyone. And I think this is a problem with being a woman generally, and I, you know, I've talked about this before, I think it starts with our periods, in the sense that in life, I never ever wanted anyone I worked with to know when I had my period, because I didn't want them to see that if I dropped the ball on anything, I didn't want them to think it was because I had my period. And I know as a radio presenter, I performed less well when I had my period. I know that, you know, not markedly, but I would struggle more to find words. And now I have that all the time. But, you know, it was definitely worse when I had my period. I was always clumsier and I always struggled a bit with words. But I never wanted anyone to know that, because then they could point a finger and go, ah, well, you didn't do a very good show today, because you've got your period. And I think that starts at school, the hiding it, and then that whole, it's my fault, it's all my fault, and I just have to cope. I have to cope with it. I can't, there's nothing for it. You know, you just have to put up with it. And that starts with your periods, and I think it goes on into menopause.
Well, definitely, and it's even worse now, because we're not in a society that actually it's a normal situation, but you're looking at, you're bombarded with images of people's lives that are absolutely fantastic. And they cope with all problems under the sun, and they've still brought up a family, they're still earning 6-0 income. What have you done with your life?
I never even understand how these people have enough time to post all the things they post on social media. Exactly. Never mind live the life they live. I don't even know how, you know, I'm terrible with social media, and then I feel guilty that I'm not doing more on social media. I mean,
it takes me an hour sometimes to get a constructor sentence to put together on an Instagram post. And I feel like, that was shit. I can't put that up there. That's not going to make anyone laugh.
Oh, so I'm interested to hear you saying that going on Naked Education made you feel more of an activist, or made you realise how much of an activist you are. What is going to change for Debbie Basden / Dolly Slateman with this new penny drop information?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to be more constructive with my actual schedules that I have and identify, right, okay, now I've identified Debbie is one person, Dolly is another person.
Congratulations.
And that took a while. More writing. So I'm doing more writing with Dolly. And I think I want to go back now on the comedy side of things. I know I'm at with menopause, and I'm an activist for it. And I know I love the idea of educating others through comedy. So I want to concentrate more on the comedy side of things now. Dolly got in a WI recently, which was hilarious.
Amazing. Did she make jam?
She just posed, really. In her pub. Like, the WI is really interesting. Because if my mum was alive and saw me going to WI, she would absolutely be kidding herself laughing. She'd find that really hilarious. But it is such a fantastic network of getting out there and showing people and, you know, becoming more of a community. So, yeah, I think I'm still learning, Rachel, to be honest with you. And I think I'm always open to learning. So the more you learn, I guess the more options you realise that you've got and where you can go with it.
And still running the pub, still continuing, still no sign of giving that up?
No, we can't. Economical reasons. I would love to say to you, I'm just going to shut the doors and go off in a really bohemian style and write 10 scripts and invent 10 more characters. But the thing is, it's identifying now. I've started doing a process now of writing more monologues for Dolly, using the pub in itself as a set, and which is, I'm finding really exciting, and looking at ways to, spread the word and just embracing being over 50.
And how old are you now, Debbie, if you don't mind me asking?
56.
56, me too.
I am.
Yeah, 57 next week.
Well, you look
and
good.
Thank you. So do you. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because we talk about being over 50, and I've been thinking about this a bit recently. It's a funny thing to talk about being over 50 when you realise that you're nearer to 60. It feels like a blink of the eye that I turned 50. It feels this decade so far has gone incredibly quickly. But, you know, Debbie, you and me need to start campaigning for women over 60.
What's the next angle? And I think you've got a very good point.
Yeah.
It's a 4-year set up for over 60s.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. You know, I mean, you and me could easily have a good 30 years in us.
You are right. It is time to actually accept women don't just disappear over 50. They are here, and they've got a lot to offer, and they've got a lot to do, and they've got a lot to enjoy about life and bring to life, haven't they?
And I think and I hope menopause period, you know, the perimenopause, actually menopausing, and the little bit after menopause, I feel is like a really important hump that we have to climb. I feel that you get to the top of that hill and you can look, you can see, you can look behind you. You know, we're in a really privileged position. We can look behind us, but I feel we also have quite a good sense of the future because we've probably seen our parents get old and maybe die. And, you know, we've been part, maybe part of that caring for them. We've had to let go of things. We've had to accept that life throws you horrible curveballs that you've got to deal with. And I think that in its sense makes you strong. So you're on this hill, this kind of precipice, which has been a big climb up. And then I think it's really important that we start thinking about that freewheeling ride down the other side and what we're going to do when we get into the valley. Hopefully there's a big river running through it. Maybe some water slides. The sun always shines. You
know, hang gliders.
No, I don't want hang gliding in my valley. You can keep that to one end. I don't need hang gliding. But definitely a 24-hour foot spa. But, you know, like, my feet are a big part of my menopause problem right now, my achy feet. I'm not a big future thinker because I very much live in the present. But what I don't want to do is I don't want these next, let's downgrade it to 20 years.
I was pretty knackered you said 30 above. Oh,
no, I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your eyes.
Going like this for 30 years.
Let's say 20 years. But what I don't want to do is I don't want these 20 years to be any less vibrant, exciting and important than the 20 years from, say, 20 to 40. You know, you think what you crammed in 20 to 40 and all the changes you went through, all the things that you know, that happened to you, that you grew, moves you made, you know, career changes you had, children, whatever your situation is, those years will have been incredible, you know, for one way or another. And we need to make sure that these 20 years are just as incredible as those 20 years.
And you know, it's really interesting hearing you say that. Is that, and I think I'm going through, like when you said about where you're at this time, it's that moment, you've had so many decisions and choices made for you. And it's almost as if now you can go past that, but you said you've got the new valley coming up towards us. And you think, well, actually, no, what decisions do you want to make moving forward? And that is, for me, I find that really daunting. It's like, whoa, hang on a second, stop. What, make my own decisions? I think, where do I want to go with this?
And it's not even like when you're a teenager and you start to make your own decisions, it's really exciting and new. But actually, you know, somewhere in your heart of hearts, you probably, you know, you've got to get a job. You've got to start paying for a mortgage. You're probably, you know, you're looking for a partner. Are you going to have kids? You know, you've got all this stuff coming ahead, which is exciting. But actually, that's kind of daunting, you know, all that stuff that's coming up. We literally can do what we like, you know, within reason, you know, obviously financial constraints, but it is a blank canvas and it is daunting, but there's none of those pressures that we put on ourselves as a young person that are coming up. You know, I've got to save up for a deposit for a mortgage or whatever. I mean, not everyone gets to their mid, late 50s, 60s and is financially settled, but the chances are you've got less people depending on you. So you have got more options, haven't you, to be able to choose how you want to live and what you want to do.
Yeah, and you've got experience. And you've learned, so really you can come to quick decisions because of previous things that previously happened to you and experience of that. So you can sort of like go, okay, I haven't got to go through the whole process of that because I know 99% how that's going to turn out. Yeah. So let's make a decision on that now. I used to teach a couple of years to business BTEC students. I remember saying to them, think of yourself as a massive pie chart. And in that pie chart, that is just you, right? And you've got energy. So how much of that pie chart is energy? How much of that, like in this situation now we're talking about with us, is like family commitments? All right, where would your financial come into it? How much space you got left on your pie chart to actually go and do what you really want to do that makes you become more the person you want to be? And what do you need to do that? When you give people that choice, it's like, whoa, well, I can do that.
I love that. I love that, Debbie. I am a massive pie chart.
What's it
I know. I'm going to be constantly redrawing my pie chart.
Yeah.
I need some colour pencils and a rubber because that's going to keep changing. But I love that idea. Debbie, you have got me onto something now. I'm going to plan my next 20 years in a pie chart way.
And I want to see this. I want to see this on Insta.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it today. I've got felt pens for the grandkids. I'll get those out and I'll draw my pie chart. I'll do it regularly. I think it's a thing. I can't believe you've kept that bit secret till now.
Yeah, I don't know. You've only got, it reminds me of that plate. You know that plate you get, right? You can have proteins, carbohydrates,
and
crap. So it's a bit like yourself, isn't it? It's defining your own boundaries. I think that's a really important lesson. It has been for me. Because once you realise what can you actually do rather than try and do everything, then you can concentrate more on what you want to do and how you can utilise that better. for the best outcomes and what you want to bring to it.
Brilliant. It's been a pleasure to have you back on My Last Eggs. Debbie Basedon, aka Dolly Slateman, and who knows who else in the future.
Yeah, scary. In the valley. Could be both.
Yes. I'll see you in the valley. No hang gliding. You can follow On My Last Eggs with new episodes released every Wednesday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Do send a message. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week. Oh.